Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Later on in the program, we're going to be taking a look at one of the bigger ideas outlined in the budget that Barack Obama sent to Congress yesterday, or at least the budget outline. It's an energy proposal that, if you look at the fine print, is actually pretty radical. But we begin with a legal story that poses actually a pretty intriguing question. What would it be like if in open court, all of the issues that lawyers have been dealing with for the last 8 years of the Bush administration since 9/11 on detainees from Afghanistan and Iraq, what if all of those issues were presented in open court? It would be something.
That's right. And that's about to happen. An alleged follower of al-Qaeda may soon face terrorism-related charges in U.S. federal court. The move would eliminate the possibility of a military tribunal. It would also give the only man designated as an enemy combatant to be held in the continental United States some of the legal options available in civilian criminal court, like the right to challenge the evidence against him. Joining us now is John Schwartz, national legal correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. He's writing a story on this case in tomorrow's paper. Run down the story for us, John.
Well, you've got this fellow named Ali Al-Mari. And Al-Mari was picked up, got to the country on September 10th, 2001. People were suspicious of him, especially after September 11th. There were things about him that seemed unusual, the way he got to America. It came to Chicago and then asked to be taken to Peoria and in a taxi cab with his family, and then started setting up what appear to be shell businesses. So he was arrested in December of 2001. And what the government says about him is that he is an enemy combatant, that he did actually meet with Osama bin Laden and say, you know, I want to work for you. And Mr. Al-Mari denies all this, but before the criminal charges on basically identity theft and fraud were heard, he was moved to a brig in Charleston, South Carolina, and he has been kept in that sort of twilight zone state since then. And so the move to a criminal court completely changes the case, but also might suggest a change in the way the Obama administration is going to look at this practice of putting people away.
How significant is it that we're looking at a possible new way to deal with this issue?
Well, the intriguing thing is that Jose Padilla, who was the fellow who they initially accused of wanting to create a dirty bomb, that Padilla was also in this kind of detention, indefinite detention, and was also then shifted to the criminal court. So the question, and the Bush administration was accused at that time of trying to move the question off the table, get this guy out of the extraordinary legal condition that the Bush administration had come up with. The Bush administration was accused of simply trying to change the subject and get the difficult questions out of the way, and Padilla was convicted on terrorism-related charges. In the case of Mr. Al-Mari, the question is the Obama administration doing this, again, just to keep the issues of this kind of being held without access to lawyers and everything, to take it off the table, to keep the Supreme Court, which has agreed to hear the case in April, from having to deal with these issues and maybe foreclose options? Or does it show that the administration is trying to change the law and trying to get to the sort of openness and transparency that President Obama has promised? And until we see what happens in this trial, we won't know.
Well, it's interesting, John, because you point out that until the Supreme Court rules, it's possible that the Obama administration has some wiggle room here. And I'm wondering if you can see from the way this case is being handled anything that might be, being taken from the Bush experience, any part of the detention or the procedural strategies that the Justice Department used under the Bush administration is going to be taken up by the Obama administration. And at the very least, it appears as though for all these detainees, their original detention amounts to a kind of secret pretrial sort of domain that's a complete netherworld. If this were to go into open court for all the detainees, basically the habeas corpus process would begin at the moment of their detention as opposed to when they emerge from some dark hole somewhere.
Well, in fact, this uses the case of one guy, Mr. Almari, who is the only guy in his specific situation, right? The wing of the brig in Charleston is just him. And then has issues that could open up, as you say, for hundreds of detainees. And so everything the administration did could come up. Everything could be opened up. And one of the people I talked to yesterday said, why would you foreclose your options, even options you don't think you ever want to use, in a case of one guy, when you don't know what's going to happen next? You don't know what the next attack might be. And, you know, it's people decry the Bush administration's use of these tactics in a broad way. But this fella said, you know, there might be very specific narrow ways that you might want to do it, in the way that we took actual enemy combatants during World War II and held them until the end of hostilities. There is precedent for this kind of thing, narrowly used, judiciously used. But what these experts say is it didn't happen in the last administration. But you don't want to completely foreclose your ability to use something like this in the future.
Although, without getting too abstract, isn't that what the Supreme Court has signaled, that the Bush administration's tactic of trying to have it, you know, have all options open kind of indefinitely by having a military tribunal system, there are enemy combatants, there are people in other sort of nether worlds judicially, that's what the court has said it's got to stop. It can't just be all options all the time. We've got to narrow it down. We've got to establish some precedents. Some options are going to have to be closed here.
That is precisely it. That in 2004, 2005, the Supreme Court said, you know, you can hold people, but you got to make some choices. You got to give people some rights. And so, you know, with the prospect of yet another Supreme Court decision that might narrow options still further, it's time for a trial. Mr. Almari will get a day in court.
What are you hearing from folks in the civilian courts about the prospect of dealing with this?
Well, the original charges against him, the odd behavior and the sort of weird financial dealings, were all dismissed in the deal that put him in the brig in the first place. The judge who allowed the trial to be suspended so that he could be put in this indefinite detention as an enemy combatant, he dismissed the charges with prejudice. And so those can't come up again. It's unclear what the charges will be. We'll probably get the indictment unsealed today. And the question is, you know, does the government have enough to convict? And that's the question any time the government tries to put somebody in jail.
Well, John, I guess, the question is, are there any tantalizing details that some lawyers are, you know, dying to see brought up in open court of the people that you talked with? Is there anything in this case that would reveal stuff that perhaps the Bush administration was absolutely determined would never come out?
Well, in fact, you know, some of the issues that are likely to come up are the treatment of detainees. What happened to this fella in Charleston? What happened to him during his detention? What was his treatment? There's been a lot of documentation of Mr. Almari's treatment. He's been the subject of a lot of investigative work. And, you know, there were things that some reports say were done to him, including having his mouth duct taped so he couldn't breathe, having socks stuffed in his mouth so that he couldn't talk, being chained in a fetal position, all that stuff. It could come out in trial. It could, but not just his treatment. But how was the evidence against him obtained? This supposed meeting with Osama bin Laden, if that came through the torture of another prisoner, a prisoner at Guantanamo, is that going to be admissible? We don't generally do that in this country.
Right.
There's some very tough questions coming up here.
And there could be sources and methods in the intelligence side that also are interesting. What's the chance that Donald Rumsfeld could be called to the stand or some sort of widening view of holding the administration accountable by subpoenaing lots of witnesses?
Well, that's the lovely thing about a criminal trial. You can do all sorts of interesting things.
I was going to say, you know, what do you expect the political fallout from this is going to be?
Well, you know, it's it, the Supreme Court case was already going to be a very big deal on opening up a lot of these issues. It's you could certainly use a crowbar to open them up in the criminal case. It's certainly going to be used to whether or not we have a truth commission in this country to discuss what happened to the civil rights in the United States under the Bush years. This trial and other trials like it will be mini commissions, and the lawyers who are pursuing them, I believe, will do what they can to shed light on what happened over the last 8 years.
Thanks very much. John Schwartz, national legal correspondent for The New York Times.